Hey, folks, God is not finished with that little nation of Israel. You haven't figured that out yet. You're not paying attention. He's not finished with them yet. Let me read you something out of the Daniel study guide I have right here in front of me. We know from Ezekiel 36 and 37, as well as many other scriptures, that God is not finished with his chosen people, Israel. Ezekiel's bones have already stood upon their feet, in my opinion, yet they are still awaiting the spiritual breath from God that will be breathed into them one day very soon. It's actually going to happen around the midpoint of the tribulation. So they've got a lot of sorrow to go through before that time and after that time. We're going to discuss some of that in today's program. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 11. Remember, you can get all of these studies on Daniel. You can get the standard Daniel study guide. Doc has a DVD that he's offering. And there's also a flash drive where all these YouTube videos will be on that you'll be able to have right there to plug into your computer if you want to. Those are all on the website. All right. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. So get ready, and we'll be starting Daniel chapter 11 in just a moment. Hey, nice to have you with us today. I hope everything's well on your side of the woods and on your side of the highway, wherever you live. And Doc and I are very excited about going through the book of Daniel with you. We're all the way up to chapter 11 now. So this week and next week possibly will be the end of our study on the book of Daniel. We have the study guide here. She'll put that up sometime for you to see. We've got other materials. Doc has a DVD. Devoted to the book of Daniel, that I think will be a big help to you. You know, many prophecy people will tell you that you'll never fully understand Revelation without understanding of some things in Daniel. Mm-hmm. Very important. Doc, let me go through the themes of each chapter, mm-hmm. and then we'll begin chapter 11 here. We did an introductory show where we gave some basics, I think. And then we got Daniel chapter 1, which I call Daniel's resolve, where he purposed in his heart that he would not sin against God. Daniel chapter 2, the times of the Gentiles from man's perspective. Boy, oh boy, that's the statue. Yeah. That's what's on the book there, you see. And Daniel chapter 3, the fiery furnace, exciting chapter there. And that every young boy used to learn those stories in Sunday school and even in schools. Number 4, the redemption of a king. A little bit different there. The redemption is given in the book of Daniel of the king. Daniel chapter 5, handwriting on the wall. That's Belshazzar, you know, drinking wine, defiling God's the cups from the temple there. And then we got the lions then in chapter 6, which shows some very, very intimate things about King Darius and his love for Daniel. And boy, that just opened up to me when I was studying that. Daniel 7, the times of the Gentiles again, this time from God's perspective. Mm-hmm. Instead of gold and silver, precious metals, value, he looks at the kingdoms of the world as wild beasts.
And that's actually who they are.
If people don't realize that, they're not paying attention even today.
Right.
And then chapter 9, of course, the 70th week of Daniel, which is a very difficult chapter for people. And I hope we put it on the bottom shelf for them.
I think we did a good job with that.
Last week, spiritual warfare, chapter 10. Daniel's prayer took 21 days. There was a battle going on in the heavens to bring Daniel the message that God wanted him to have. A lot of food for thought there. And that brings us to chapter 11. The very end of my Daniel study guide, chapter 11 and chapter 12. The theme that I give for chapter 11 is the future of Israel. And when I read the chapter, I know there's a lot more in it than that. Seems like a theme.
It was the future of the world and Israel from their time all the way to the millennial reign in reality.
And I think you mentioned this before. We talk about the 400 silent years. They're really not silent.
Yeah.
They're mentioned in here.
I had somebody text me yesterday and wanted to know, Was there 400 silent years? And that's when I said, well, there was, in the sense that God didn't give an open revelation through a prophet. But he had already given through the pen of Daniel all of the major events that was going to happen, not only in that 400 years, but actually all the way through to the millennial reign.
Yeah. All right. So there's much sorrow yet to come for Israel. And this chapter deals with much of this.
Yes.
Daniel chapter 11 explains the vision of Daniel spoken in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Mm-hmm. And
chapter 10, 11, 12 are all actually one setting in that vision together.
Daniel 11, verse 1, also in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Mm-hmm. And this is, there are more than one Darius's in the Bible, so you have to realize this is the first one, Darius the Mede. This is the Medes and the Persians. This is right after the 7-year captivity. And then verse 2, and now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia.
Yep.
And the 4th shall be richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. That's the kingdom of Greece.
Because the kingdom that existed at that time, the reason why he says there are 3, is because the first one of those 4 of Daniel chapter 2 and 7 already passed. Now we're in the Persian Empire.
Yep.
So it's Persia, Greece, and Rome.
Yep. Let's see. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. The 3 kings are most likely Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes, and Darius. This is a later Darius from Ezra 4. There's another Darius that you see in the book of Ezra.
Yes.
Darius the First or something like that.
And as we pointed out last session in chapter 9, that actually there were 4 distinct decrees, starting with the one to rebuild Jerusalem by Cyrus. There were 3 other decrees between that and the final building of the walls in Jerusalem.
I wrote here, and this is in my commentary, Xerxes was the 4th of these 3 kings, mm-hmm. the 3 kings, and then the 4th that it mentions here. The 3rd was the one we read about in Esther.
Yes.
However you say this name, Ahasuerus or whatever, however you say it.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's going to marry Esther in that story. And he fought with Greece, and we see he goes out to battle. They're fighting Greece is who they're fighting.
It's a futile fight. Yep, but anyway,
it's still the kingdom of Persia, but Greece exists, and they're having battles, just like Rome exists, even though they're under, they probably have to send tax money to Persia. And in verse 3, and a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And I wrote here, this was Alexander the Great who took power over Greece upon the murder of his father. He was 20 years of age when
out of Macedonia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to be 20 years of age when he conquers the known world, which was, Persia. So that will be the end of Persia and the beginning of the
Greek Empire.
So Daniel 11 and 12 is mainly about Persia and Greece.
It is. But also, as we've talked about a dual prophecy, and we were reminded a while ago, not everybody understands what we mean with dual prophecy.
Right. So my wife pointed out that we should help them with that.
It simply means that there is maybe a partial fulfillment or a shadow of the main fulfillment to come. So when you read it, sometimes you read of Epiphanes and what he did, and people say, well, that's the fulfillment. No, that's the foreshadowing of what the Antichrist is going to do in the future. Yep. That makes it a dual prophecy.
Okay, and since we're right there, let's just move to that.
Well, that's just one of those areas, yes.
And so, in other words, Antiochus Epiphanes, he's in the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great is going to die at the age of 35, so 15 years later. They already must have had this set up in their constitution or whatever, bylaws. But the 4 generals took over the kingdom.
It's obvious because even the Bible said, when you look in chapter 2, chapter 7, you see these divisions are there, the heads. Well, Those were the four generals because he didn't have any offspring.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, he wasn't married. No, he was married, but he had a very rocky relationship with his marriage, and there was nobody to take his throne.
And he was out fighting all the time.
Yeah. And so these four generals divide up his kingdom. Out of that will come two major sources. One will take over the primarily the Egyptian area of it. The other over the eastern or out of the Macedonian area.
And we saw this
area
in chapter 10. We spent a lot of time on that. I showed him a picture.
And those two are going to battle out until it finally becomes the Roman Empire.
Yeah, the Roman will take over 63 AD, something like that.
Maybe 163, somewhere along in there.
So they last a couple hundred years, and then Rome takes over. Mm-hmm. But in the process of that, one of those four generals, the lineage of him.
That's the lineage of him.
You know, years later, a guy rises up who's over the part of Greece that includes the Holy Land, Jerusalem. And I showed that map when we was on chapter 10 last week, I think, or the week before, one or the other. Might have been chapter 8. I think it might have been. But anyway, and this guy is the guy we know of as Antiochus Epiphanes. Mm-hmm. It's a tough name here for us.
Epiphanes means he's declaring himself God.
Yeah. And he becomes...
And that's what the Antichrist is going to do. That's why the foreshadowing is so important.
He hates the Jews. He hates Israel. He attacks them. He goes in. He slaughters some pigs inside the temple. Right. He's going to... The abomination desolation, there it is.
Well, all of these... Back up just a moment. All of these wars that are going to take place between what we call the 400 years between the Old and New Testament, this is what's going to take place.
Yeah.
And... During all of that time, the thorn in the flesh of all of these is Israel, because they just are never going to be silent in submission to the rulership over them. And so that's one of the reasons why they are singled out and hated by these Gentile rulers.
Look what it says in Daniel 11, verse 31. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength.
Yes.
He shall and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now you realize when this is being written by Daniel, this doesn't exist yet.
Not even.
And now they're working on it, or they're going to be working on it.
They're getting ready to.
Because King Cyrus is going to ordain to get that going. But so he's talking about a man in the future, this man, Antiochus Epiphanes, who's going to do these things.
He's a foreshadow of... What verse 31 is really speaking about, not just only what he's going to do, but what the Antichrist in the future is going to do.
And so, to be a dual prophecy, what we mean is, yes, this is a prophecy about this Antichrist Epiphanes, but there's a dual prophecy, which means he's also a prophetic of 2,000 years down the road from this guy, the Antichrist.
I see there's five major divisions in chapter 11. And the fourth division is verses 30 through verse 39. And this is where that plays in. And it's really foreshadowing of an event of something that's really going, because when you get to the end of verse 39, you're dealing with the Antichrist himself.
Well, I got some of those highlighted. It just happens to be, like you said, verse 32 and on here. I'll just read the little phrases here. He shall corrupt by flatteries. Now, false, telling something nice, but it's a lie.
Yep.
The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They shall fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, by spoil. And I wrote, this was true in 167 BC. That's when this happened. Mm-hmm. And will also happen at the second half of the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. All this Daniel saw in a vision that troubled him so. I wonder, and Doc, I was going to ask you this. I wrote this in the book. I wonder, did Daniel understand that this was a double prophecy?
No, I'm sure he didn't. By no means, no.
And but it troubled him. He couldn't get up. He was so.
But because
we talked about this,
he's already been told that this vision is for a time future.
Yeah,
that future was more immediate to his point of view than it is from ours today. But it was future all the way out to what we call the tribulation period.
Again, concerning Antichus and the guy to come 2,000 years down the road, the Antichrist, he says, the king shall do according to his will.
Yes.
And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. There's no doubt this is also talking, mainly talking about the Antichrist.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Neither shall he regard, this is verses 37 to 43, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now that doesn't necessarily mean what some people
say
it means.
Let's stop there just a minute, because this is an area where a lot of people, even in ministries like ours, get off.
Yeah.
Because we're living in a time where sodomy is such a rampant thing that they read into Scripture what's not there. What was looking close at it, and of course we're reading from the King James Bible, so maybe that's where they get off. They don't have a King James Bible, but he says the desire of women. It doesn't say the desire for
women. Right. Yeah,
of women. So in the Old Testament, what was the desire of women? The desire of a woman in the Old Testament, in Daniel's day, was to have a son as an heir for her husband. So this is not, this has nothing to do with him being a homosexual.
I agree.
Hasn't anything to do with that.
Yeah.
I make that clear. I have a CD. She can put it up there in a moment. I have a CD on this section right here of these three gods that's going to be mentioned in the next couple of verses.
There it is. She's got it up on
and,
the screen.
Because we're living in a time where all of the things, because we're living in a time where the desire of the woman was to have a child, we're living in a time when the desire of the woman is to abort a child.
Yeah.
So this is speaking, I believe, of our times. No longer is that desire of the woman prevalent in our world. Matter of fact, some of our monies that we've discovered out of our tax money has been going all around the world to try to see that this right here is averted.
Yeah.
And so he goes on to talk about three different entities that are coming up. He's going to talk about the God of forces. I'm convinced that's science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a facet of my life or yours that in some way is not touched or controlled by technology. You can't go anywhere and do any business without technology. Oh, you can still go to your neighbor and swap dollar bills, but you couldn't even trade your dollar bills in at McDonald's if the computer computer wasn't working.
They can't sell you nothing.
I mean, your entire life is governed by science and technology. Then he's going to talk about the fact that this is another God is going to be finances, money. Because these things didn't really exist in Daniel's day, but they do in our day. And then he talks about an unknown God. And I believe that's talk because he talks about the word unknown is like outside of your borders. We're living in a day of globalism where we put sanctions on other countries. We're outside your border, but we by force are changing your government.
Yeah.
This is where we're living. This is talking about our time, setting the stage for the Antichrist. Now,
Doc, you mentioned something very interesting. You mentioned money.
Yes.
Speaking of money, we're at the end of a cycle here, and we've got a pretty good bill coming up, and we're not there yet. We need your help. Those of you who partner with us, those of you who write a check every now and then and help us out, keep us on the air, this would be a wonderful time for some of you to get your checkbook out and see if you can help us. And call the 800 number if you need to. You can donate there or write a check, put it in the mail. If you need any help with that, let us know. Make it out to Prophecy in the Spotlight. And I really believe, Doctor, what we're doing here is important.
I think so.
I believe we're on the final stretch. I think we're on the final lap of the race.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I really believe we're supposed to be out here. Doc and I get no salary. We don't take any of this money. Okay. The money that comes in goes to pay to keep us keep the studio here and pay the TV bills and radio bills and all this stuff. And if you want to be a part of this, we would love to hear from you. And so the bill's coming up in just a few weeks. We really need some help there for those of you who love what we're doing here. Okay? Well, enough of that.
They brought us this four in home 4.5 years.
This June will be 5 years.
We just believe they're going to keep us going. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I believe we're a very unique ministry. I don't think there's anyone out there that's just like us on television.
Well, there's nobody out there like you, so we're very unique. Yeah. And so, but yeah.
And there's nobody out as old as you.
No, there are, but I'm thankful that we can do what we're doing. And I think from the comments I get, and I don't get many as you do, that we are being a help to people.
We get a lot of comments. We get a lot of messages from people. The girls answer the phones, and sometimes I talked with people. But let's close with something, another dual prophecy from the book of Isaiah, because this brings that out. And there's some lessons here. We'll probably skip those. Well, let me just read a couple of these. God is not done with the nation and people of Israel. That's some lessons here from chapter 11. Jacob's trouble, the middle of the 70th week, is looming. It's coming.
Amen.
Israel as a nation will return to God and take their place in the coming kingdom. Number four, prophecy is history told in advance. It cannot be changed. Cannot and will not be changed. Many shadows of the coming Antichrist can be seen in this man we call Epiphanes. And I wrote down here, prophecy is history told in advance. It cannot be altered, nor can it be sped up or slowed down.
No. God's got it. Everything's on a timeline.
Yep.
That's why we've talked many times about the elections here and Mr. Trump one time and then a little break and now he's back again. I believe all of that has to do with the timing for the global system and everything to be brought into place.
Now, I don't want to miss anything that you had. You had some. Did you have anything else on chapter 11?
I just want to make sure that those three end time gods that Daniel speaks of, they are in force.
Now,
today.
I believe you've got something on that. Does she have that?
Yeah, that was that three end time gods CD.
Okay.
That she was
okay. Good. So, folks, if you want more on what he was talking about there, the CD that she had up a few minutes ago, she'll probably put it up again. It's a CD. There it is. It's a CD, an hour long or something
about
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And explains what he was just talking about the God of forces.
Well, it's interesting to see that what he says of the Antichrist here is what we're seeing happen right now.
Yeah.
So that Antichrist kingdom's in force.
Well, I want to settle something right now. A lot of people, and when I read some of these passages, I think the same thing. Boy, Donald Trump seems to be doing it. I do not believe he's the Antichrist.
Oh, no. No, I do not.
Now, could he be? Sure. We don't know. We're not told who he is. But I'm telling you, I think Donald Trump is a King Cyrus, not a Antichrist. Cyrus is not a type of the Antichrist.
I think you're right. There's a lot of parallels there.
Cyrus led the way for the coming of Epiphanes.
Exactly right.
And I believe Donald Trump will lead the way. Now, he could be the next man in line.
At the moment, America is still struggling to hang on to the dominant force in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to handle bringing us in.
I think America just took it back.
We did.
Now, that don't mean we'll have it for long.
No, I don't mean we'll have it.
But right now, the nations around us are bowing down and submitting to the dollar.
Now, we're watching a lot of kickback on some of his ideas concerning Israel and the Gazans, Palestinians. I told my wife last night, we were watching some YouTube clips, and I said, it's pretty obvious. I understand why nobody, not even an Arab nation, wants the Palestinians.
Yeah.
And I said, now you can see when this picture, when God said to take the lamb, they were to slay every one of them.
They're taught from little kids to kill and
you'll
hate.
You'll never break this chain.
Yeah, it's sad.
No.
Well, some things about Donald Trump and Cyrus that are very interesting. When Donald Trump took office the first time, in 2017, January 20th, he was exactly 70 years old, 7 months and 7 days. That's how old he was.
Yeah.
That's interesting. A lot of things here. He gave us the in the first year of his reign, he put Jerusalem as the capital, moved the embassy there.
Yes,
a lot of presidents talked about that. Nobody did it.
Donald Trump did it.
He did it in record time. They couldn't believe how fast he did it. And by the way, Cyrus—that's what King Cyrus when he came on the scene,
In his first year.
In his first year, he gave the Jews their land back and helped them build the temple.
Yep.
Same thing that Donald Trump has already done, or put him back, put Jerusalem back as the capital. I believe if Donald Trump is a type of, and a dual prophecy of Cyrus, I believe Donald Trump will have something to do with the temple being built.
I won't be a bit surprised.
Yeah, and I expect it in the first year personally, but not necessarily. But I really think that this year we're going to hear him talk about it, say it, maybe put up some.
We're watching right now because of the alignment of the planets and whatnot. February 28th is going to be something won't happen for another almost 40 years. And it appears that this is a section of war. And I see that, in my mind, the Gazan war is going to kick back and Hamas is going to be finally eliminated. And then the next phase of Cyrus is going to step in and make the way for what you just said, that temple.
Well, I see here in 2 Chronicles 36:22, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing.
Yeah.
And that, I see that as Donald Trump executive orders.
It's very possible.
Right there. Yeah. And then you turn the page to Ezra chapter 3, verse 7, and we see something interesting. We see they gave money also unto the masons, and it talks about him providing what they needed to go back and build the temple.
This is what we're getting ready probably to do.
Yeah. And
I can see.
In Isaiah 44, verse 28, we're running out of time, but this is a prophecy of Cyrus 100 and some years before he was born, 175 years before he took power. Cyrus is mentioned by name. He don't even exist yet. And he is my shepherd, it says. God is speaking. He's my shepherd. He shall perform my pleasure. And thou shalt build into the temple. The foundation shall be laid. Chapter 45, thus saith the Lord, to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I holden, spared him from being killed. I really believe God was involved in that.
I am as well.
And anyway, keep an eye on things.
These are interesting times, exciting times. Yeah.
I think we're living in a pretty important part of historical times and prophetic time. And it could be we're living in a fulfillment, possibly, of a dual prophecy of Isaiah 44, verse 28, and chapter 45, verse 1. Go and read that for yourself, see what you think. I did some YouTube lives on this if you want to go watch them on the channel. Well, we're out of time. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
The website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide, on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word of God.
That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Welcome, everybody. I got a verse for you on this December time of year, and that means Christmas is coming right up. Whether you follow Christmas or not, that's fine. It's still a wonderful time of year to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to this earth to save us. Let's read a verse here or two in Luke chapter 2, and then we'll take you into the studio and we'll get the show going. Luke chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says this, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." In today's program, we're going to give you some truths about Christmas. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned. Welcome, everybody, to this our program today and this blessed time of the year. I love the Christmas time of the year, and I know it's commercialized, or as they say in one of the movies, commercialized, right? And I still love it. And look, you don't have to be in the commercialized version of this. You can follow what the Bible says about it. Amen. And Doc's here to help us today with the Christmas story. I don't believe there's any another living soul in America that could give us the Christmas story like Doc can. Doc has spent years studying this stuff as a pastor, as he'll tell us in a moment here. Well, Doc, before we begin, I've got two DVDs here. I want to tell the people we have a Christmas special going.
Amen.
On the website. These are my DVDs, and she doesn't. I know she don't have a picture to put up, but that's okay. I've got them right here. And the DVDs right here. She's going to put it over here. There we go. These are my PowerPoint DVDs. There's two volumes. There's four PowerPoints on each one. Let me just tell you what we got. We got the Seven Feasts, the Jubilee, the Barley Harvest, and When Time Shall Be No More. That's on Volume 1. Volume 2 has The Final Generation, The Unknown Day, Mystery of Babylon, and The Seven Sealed Book. These are PowerPoint presentations that I do when I go to conferences and preach at prophecy conferences and things. And we got a special on them. They're on the website. I think they're only like $29.95, free shipping, both of them. And be a great Christmas gift for somebody on your list. But you can go to our bookstore. You can go to Doc's bookstore. And lots of discounts and specials for this time of year. So go check that out. All right, Doc, let's talk about what's on the table here. If you're listening via television or YouTube or Rumble or Pray.com, wherever you're watching us today, and by the way, Pray.com, we want you to go to our page and hit the follow button. And there's also a way to get to our website from the Pray.com app as well. If you go to our page, you can click on our website right there. And Pray.com is brand new, Doc. It's just been on,
yeah.
I think we're on week three or four, and we're very excited about the new opportunity to reach a whole new different audience that doesn't know us.
Worldwide opportunity.
It is worldwide, yeah. 15 million subscribers on there.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping we got at least 14 million of them watching.
Yeah,
but anyway. Doc, what do we got here on the desk here? We got to tell the audience what these are.
Well, there's in the middle is CDs, and that's a three CD set. The first one has to do with Joseph and Mary, the taxation out of the research that I've done. Second one is, where was Jesus actually born? What does it mean about the inn? What's it mean about the stable, swaddling? Who were the shepherds? And then the third one is, who were the wise men? Who did they represent? The gift they got, bring, and those kind. And then the other one is a DVD.
Well, first of all, this is the original.
That's the original.
When I first brought you out to Prophecy mm-hmm. News, we did shows on this. This one's been out for a few years.
Yes, but the one on the left is DVD
right here,
and that was done in a church and live setting, and we'll have some things that are different, but it's all the same three subjects. As well as in with that is this other CD.
Okay, that's this one here.
Which is just 40 minutes, a pastor asking me questions, and I'm answering them. And so these are the three that we have on the Truths of Christmas.
If they order the DVD, they get those questions with it, I understand.
The questions comes with the DVD set.
And so so CD or DVD, now the DVDs are only been out for probably 2 years.
They have 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the CD's been out for a while.
Right.
I just want to make sure some of the viewers may have the CDs already.
They might.
But the DVD's fairly new. It's only been out, I think this is the second year.
The second year on those, yes.
So let's talk about these, and folks, you can go to the website. ProphecyInTheSpotlight.com. This will probably write on the front page, but if not, go to Doc's Bookstore, and I think they're discounted on there. It looked like they were.
They will be.
And so folks can get those. What prompted you to do all this stuff on Christmas?
Well, as a pastor, I like to, during this season, I'd always preach a four Sunday series on the Christmas story. So in order to not just repeat the same things, and I began researching and began realizing very little of the Christmas story that we've known growing up and even as pastoring is even biblical or truth.
Yeah.
And so from that research, over all those years, at least 20 years preaching and researching, spent time talking with preachers, and they would say, wow, I've never heard this. Well, I didn't know that. And so I decided to put them together like this to be able to help people understand the truths of the Christmas story.
So, Doc, your research that you did, you said for 30 years you would preach on this every year and you'd do more research. What did the research do for you?
Oh, well, number one, the research helped me understand what I already knew. Man, every word in the Bible has a meaning. It's on purpose. And background study often will bring supporting material. Not that I needed it for my faith. I believe what the Bible says, period. But to discover some of the things, what was the inn? What is swaddling cloths? And the list goes on. And when you discover these truths, it's like, wow. This is really a great story. It's all about redemption.
And the story of the shepherds, I mean, I've read it 100 times. And
sure.
I read Luke chapter 2 for Christmas every year. There are things in that story that fill in the missing pieces of this thing and help you understand what the inn was.
Sure. Oh, there'll be preachers on television and even in their pulpits across the world who will talk about Jesus, or talk about the angels that you just read from, giving the announcement of the birth of the Savior to the run-of-the-mill shepherds, or just lowly shepherds. Well, you don't find lowly shepherds in your Bible. What they do not know, and with a little bit of research they can discover, these are sanctified shepherds who are keeping watch, and the Bible says, keeping watch over their flocks. That gives you a clue, along with some others that I can share with you, but that gives you a clue at what season this is taking place. The reason they were keeping watch over their flock is because the ewes were getting ready to give birth to their lambs. So they're keeping watch over their flock. These, with a little study, you realize that these shepherds, all the way back to the time of David, as he reconstituted proper worship in a new tabernacle in Jerusalem before they built a temple. He selected a segment of the priesthood to become sanctified shepherds. And out of their flock is where you got the paschal lambs for sacrifice.
So they're out there working to bring forth lambs for Passover.
Yeah. And not only Passover, but for the daily sacrifice at the temple. And so there's so many others. The story of the narrow gate and the wide gate, that happens at the end in the fall after the feast seasons are over. That's what happens there. There's a place where the chief shepherd stands on top of the rock. They bring all of these flocks together, and they open the gate. And on one side is a big wide gate that goes up to the top of the hill. On the other side is a narrow passageway that you had to kind of squeeze through. I mean, all of this had to do with a sacrificial lamb, and these shepherds are the ones that did all of that.
So what's the purpose of the two gates and the separating of those
sheep? Well, all of that
sheep?
Was to demonstrate. We understand that he goes on to say that this is how it is. The broad road leads to destruction. It's an easy path to go. But the narrow path is what we would call salvation. So, and few there be that find
it. So is the wide gate for the sheep, the ones that are going to be slaughtered and eaten?
There's a valley there, and in the middle of the valley is a big rock. And so they fence it across, bring all of them up. Then when they remove the fence, some of them just meander their way up the hill, and they're taken off to the market. The others are squeezed through down here. That's where the next year's flock's going
right.
to come out
so,
of.
Yeah, and so the ones that are slaughtered.
These men, when Jesus told that to the disciples, they knew exactly what he was talking about.
And the fact that we don't know these traditions and things, we miss a lot.
That's why research that I've done has brought to light to me these truths of the story. And yes, it changes your whole understanding what Christmas is.
Well, there's only so many things we can hit because this, I don't know how many hours this is, but it's three sessions, three long sessions. But we've got to talk about the wise men. And because that's, now I'll be honest, we always have a manger scene at my house.
Yeah.
I still like it. I know it's not biblical.
You still like that nativity scene.
I do. And it makes, I don't know, it just warms your heart. I realize the wise men are not there, but it's still part of Christmas for us. It's just a
tradition. Well, there's a,
so explain to the viewers today why we know the wise men were not there and what it all means.
Well, the wise men don't for at least 21 months afterwards. Of course, the Bible says when they come to the house, they found a young child. Well, even the word there is for a passing from toddler into that other stage. And so
and before they got there, they went to Herod's temple.
Yeah. They went to Herod, first of all, because
where else would you find a king? They're looking for a king. Where
else
would you go?
The movement of the constellations, as Daniel had said, you got to understand who these wise men were. The wise men were representatives of 13 federated nations on the east side of the Roman Empire. You see, we think, in our Bible term, we think about the Roman Empire being the only thing in the world. But that's not the case. The reason why we know that is because it revolves around Israel and what they were doing with Israel. So on the east side was 13 nations, China and India and all of those nations. And these are people who have what's called Zoroastrianism. Even yet today, in many of those countries, Zoroastrianism is a major religion. Zoroaster was a student of Daniel. When Daniel was in charge of all of the teaching institutions of the Persian Empire. And so they had taken what Daniel had said, and they were looking at for the movement of the constellations to announce when heaven's king was going to be on the earth. So they came realizing this has happened. And a lot of people think because there were three gifts, they think there were only three of them. Well, they were bringing very expensive spices and gold. In order to do that, they had to get together this camel train, according to one of the historians that was in Syria, Damascus, Syria, said there was at least 1,000 camels in the camel train. And so that's why when your Bible says when they showed up at Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem was troubled. Well, all of a sudden, somebody came in not coming through the proper port of entry. All of a sudden shows up. Wow. And so the wise men are coming as representatives of these countries to bring a gift that is known historically as the gift of Ramses, which simply stated, our nation realizes that heaven has anointed a king to be the king over the earth. We're bringing this gift that was first given to Ramses by Nebuchadnezzar out of Babylon to recognize that when he comes to power, he doesn't have to conquer us. We're in subjection. Yeah. And so, and there's more to that story.
And so,
as well,
Herod, you know, they don't understand what's going on. He talks to his people, describe, and they should have known this.
They should have known because they had Daniel's prophecy.
Yeah. They should have known that Messiah was going to be born any time.
Yeah,
now.
Because they knew it'd be 483 years from the rebuilding of the Jerusalem and the temple, and they ought to have known. Wow.
And then Herod, there's a clue here. Herod asked them.
Yes.
When did you see the star? And
that's
a clue here.
He wanted to know.
Because the star was seen in their land.
And it would have been it would have been seen in theirs as well. But when they were in the east, that's when they saw the notification to them.
And when they told him, that's why he said later on he's going to have all the boy children killed from 2 years old and younger. Telling us that Jesus is not a little baby now.
No, he's
those guys
he's
traveled
to 2 years old.
Over a year to get there.
Well, it took them probably at least three months to make that journey, or maybe longer. And there's another article that was dug out of the Roman archives that I believe it was January the 18th. After he had killed all those baby boys, a representative of those 13 nations walked into Rome and announced that because they had killed what they call heaven's appointed king, they were bringing a 1 million-man army to, and as a result, they negotiated a stalemate on that. They gave those federated nations 10 years duty-free, no more taxes when you bring your materials into our kingdom, and we will search out to see if that child was killed. That's who your heroic.
Yeah,
were that you find in the Bible.
Now this the Christmas story is all prophecy because this was all foretold back in Isaiah and other places.
Right.
And behold, a virgin shall be with child. And
Miss Goodman, if you can find that last slide that I gave you on the two verses up there, because this is a good time to point that out when you brought it up. Yes, that one right there.
Okay.
Genesis chapter 3. Verse 15, he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise it. In Micah chapter 4:8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come.
Well, that's pretty plain.
That's pretty plain. So the prophecy, as you mentioned, from the first mention of prophecy of redemption, that it is the birth of Christ that took place at the Tower of the Flock.
Yeah. And
you ought to pay attention to the little two-letter words in your Bible.
Micah is telling us where he was born.
Micah told us exactly where he's going to be born. And, of course, that's why the taxation is so important. When you understand how the taxation worked, Joseph was expecting a taxation because this is a three-year program. The Roman government, in their battle of 20 years, the Gauls are bankrupt. So they're going to move their census up.
Things don't change, do they?
Things don't change.
We're bankrupt, too.
They're going to collect a census tax to try to get their coffers built back up. And in doing that, because the Jews had always been a thorn in their flesh, always wanted to get out from underneath the control of the Romans. And this is one of the reasons why they missed their Messiah, because they were looking for a military leader and not a savior of their souls. And so they're going to the taxation over a three-year period of time, but you can't pay it except the exact time when it's set up. Being a Jew under the Syrian dictator, you had to be the potentate of Syria, Aquilius, and as a result, he set his up where every Jew 16 to 60 male had to appear before at their birthright place. So Joseph, being a descendant of David, has got to go to Bethlehem. He can't pay it up at Nazareth. It has to be paid at the place of his lineage. And it can only be paid during a seven-day period of time. So when the notice came out for that time for him, he doesn't have any choice but to take Mary, because Mary is expecting. And the Romans taxed an unborn child as living. They had more sense than we in our Western culture today. We try to get rid of our unborn children.
Well, let's be fair. They did it for money's sake.
They did it for that.
And our people are doing it for money's sake, the opposite.
Yeah. And so that's why the Bible talks about Joseph thought about putting her away privately. Have you ever wondered? I wondered about that word. I always thought, well, that meant privately. No, it meant exactly what it means here. Because there was a custom of the day that before the tax collector came through and took the names of the betrothed couple off the side of the doorpost, and we don't have time to go into the whole marriage thing. I cover that in there. But on the one side of the doorpost at the synagogue is a list of the names of the young couples that are betrothed. And if you decide for whatever reason you want that annulled, it's called privately. And so Joseph thought about going to the priest and paying a little under the table, and he could have taken their name off if the tax collector of Rome hasn't gotten it yet, and put Mary's name back on the other side of eligible for marriage. And so that's what privately meant, because he's going to have to pay a prenuptial tax. He's going to have to pay a marriage tax. And now that Mary is expecting, he's going to have to pay another tax, even though it's not his child. And then he's facing a census tax. I'm here to tell you, people ought to understand, Joseph paid a great sacrifice in many ways.
Now, it's interesting that God had foreordained the very place, Bethlehem.
Yes.
But not only Bethlehem, God had ordained in Micah chapter 4 that you pointed out,
the very spot,
the Tower of the Flock.
Because in the Tower of the Flock is where the manger sat. And the manger was not a feeding trough in somebody's stable out back. That's not anywhere in your Bible, and it's not anywhere in fact. Inside the Tower of the Flock was a double mole manger, where every year during the time of the fall, whenever it's ready for to send two up on the Day of Atonement, they put them, those lambs were put inside, they were inspected and sent up for sacrifice.
So it's an inspection place for the lambs for ceremonial things.
So when the sanctified shepherd sees he's got a ewe ready to give birth, he takes her into the Tower of the Flock. The baby lamb is caught. It's cleaned off with swaddling cloths, which are worn out priestly robes that have been prepared for this service. And then they're taken into the manger. And there they are, they're inspected for spot and blemish. If they pass, then they're wrapped with swaddling cloths, set aside for prescribed time for reinspection again. Jesus was wrapped in the same cloths and laid in the same manger where for 1,000 years before him, all of the sacrificial lambs that represented him had been born.
And God used Herod's tax, or Caesar's tax. Caesar's tax to get Jesus to the right place.
Mary and Joseph's living up here in Nazareth. You know, it's quite a donkey's ride down. At least 2 days, if not more.
God used a heathen king's tax system to get them there.
Well, the Bible says that the hearts of the kings are in the hands of God to turn them whithersoever he will.
Yeah.
And so God used that tax system to get Mary and Joseph to the exact place at the exact time, because this is Passover time, and he is the Lamb, our Passover.
I have a sneaking suspicion, Doc, that the rapture is going to happen at the exact time and the exact purpose of God.
Amen.
In the exact moment that he planned from the foundation of the world, just like he planned this from the foundation
of the world. Just like we looked at a while ago, the it in Genesis 3 and the it of that. God had it planned out.
That's powerful.
And of course, in my Walk Through Time series, I help people see God not only from Abraham on, he picked not only the genealogy, but the geography, because he had this all planned out from the beginning.
And it's all about redemption.
Yes. And by the way, Dan, on day number 4 of creation, God put the stars and the planets in their motion so that the exact time in the future, 4,000 years ahead, a movement of the constellations is going to announce so that the kings of the east could come and do what they did.
You can't make this up.
Oh, no. What it does for me is it tells me that my Bible this is God's Word.
Yeah. Amen.
And if all these little details are so important, I'm here to tell you, redemption was too important to leave it up to man.
So, folks, the Christmas story is something that you can be a part of. It's biblical. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating this birth. We're not commanded to, but nothing wrong with celebrating the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago to this earth. He was born to be the Redeemer and to die and pay the price of sin. I hope that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you know where you go when you die. I hope that he is your Redeemer, because that's what this is all about. If you got any question about salvation, if you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure that you've been born again, contact us. We'd love to help you with that. Call us, text us, email us, send a message on YouTube, whatever. We'd love to help you with your salvation. Make sure that you know that you're saved. It's so simple to be saved. You just got to know you're a sinner. Know that sinners have to pay the price of hell for their sin, and that Jesus died for our sin. He paid it all. And sometime before I die, I've got to trust him to save me. Folks, this is the end of the year coming up here. It'd be a good time for you to consider a end-of-year donation, maybe for tax purposes. We are viewer-supported, 100% viewer-supported. And we're here because of the gifts of God's people. And on the website, there's donate buttons. There's the address is there to send a check. Or you can contact us. You can call the 800 number, 888-505-SPOT. You can get a hold of us there and give an end. Consider, pray about doing an end-of-the-year donation to this ministry. Partner with us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to all of you that are watching, CTN, VTN, YouTube, Rumble, Pray.com. We love you all. We're so glad you're here. And, hey, order this stuff. Order these DVDs from Doc on the CDs. Okay, well, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.